Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1941, Delaware Electric Cooperative.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a solar electric generation facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 40 acres, more or less, lying southeast of Trapon Road, also known as Route 62, approximately 840 feet northeast of Route 518, also referred to as Substation Road, and being identified as part of tax map ID number 135, map 22, parcel 23. The applicant provided for the commission's consideration surveys and site plans of the property and the project, along with an exhibit booklet with their application. The exhibit booklet contains a summary of proposed construction, references to existing site conditions, references to a wetlands and waters of the United States investigation, agency review coordination, an aerial map of existing conditions, a photo location map, photos of the site, a minor subdivision plan, a preliminary site plan depicting proposed construction, solar panel information sheets, photos of similar solar electric sites, a letter from DENREC, Division of Soil and Water Conservation, a letter from DENREC's Division of Water, a letter from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, an aerial map of the waters of the United States, and suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. We also received an email from the applicant's attorney, Terry J. Work, advising that there is an error on page 35 of the exhibit booklet in reference to the number of homes that could be served by the project, and that phase one of the project could serve the reference 500 homes, and that a total of 870 homes could be served by phase one and phase two of the project, that the cooperative did hold a open house on July 30th of 2012 to provide information to the residents of the area, that invitations were sent to approximately 37 property owners, and that only four property owners attended, and that no one expressed any opposition. I did receive comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division on August 3rd of 2012, and referencing that the site is located in the Western Sussex Planning Area Number 4, that an individual on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the Western Sussex Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county currently has a schedule to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. We also received comments from the Sussex Conservation District on August 6th of 2012, and those comments reference that the site contains six soil types, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sedimentation control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that off-site drainage improvements will not be necessary, that it is very likely that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that since tax ditches are evident, and that the scope of the project will determine the effect on the tax ditches. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before we go, Mr. Line, can you just repeat that correction? I think you said that there was some correction in the numbers.
The reference in the email was that there's an error on page 35.
Right.
It references the number of homes that could be served, that phase one of the project could serve the reference 500 homes. It appeared that the whole project would serve only 500.
What was the total number?
870 would be served by both phase one and phase two.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Terry J. Work, and I'm an attorney with Hudson Jones, J. Work & Fisher. And although I come work out of the Dover office, we do have offices in Sussex County.
Well, let's just hang on for a minute. I know you're alleging that you're an attorney, and I am inclined to believe you, but our counsel here is a little more skeptical, and you should have an identifying bar number that would...
419.
Okay. Well, we'll check that. 419, that's impressive.
That was that.
All right.
That's an old one, I'll tell you.
Good.
It doesn't look that old.
Okay, Mr. Daywork, we've had our fun with you. Now it's your turn to have fun with us. Go
ahead. Thank you. That's all right. With me tonight is Mr. Mark Nielsen, who is the Vice President of Staff Services at Delaware Cooperative, and also Mr. Walter Hoy, who's a registered professional engineer from Century Engineering in Dover. And in just a minute, I'm going to ask them to come up and give the meat of the presentation, more technical information. But before they come up, I do have a few introductory remarks. The first thing I want to say is this property is about a mile southwest of where we are this evening. And you all are probably familiar with it. It's on the east side of East Trap Pond Road. And if you've ridden by there, you know that it's, I don't want to say out in the middle of nowhere, but it essentially is. It's surrounded by nothing but tilled farmland, and there's a small section of woods. I think it's important that you understand that the cooperative is undertaking this project in an initial step to comply with the state statute called the Renewable Energy Portfolio Standards Act. And what that statute does is require the cooperative to adopt a comparable program to the standards that are imposed upon retail electric suppliers. And under that statute, retail electric suppliers have to provide, at least 25% of their energy from renewable energy resources by the year 2025, and 3.5 percentage points of that 25% must be solar generated. So this is something that's consistent, not only consistent with state policy, but it's also kind of mandated on us. The cooperative does have to do this. So when fully completed, this facility would generate 7 megawatts of electrical energy. And as I attempted to correct, when that's done, that'll provide electric service to up to 870 homes. And I am told that in the first year, that the electricity from just the first phase would displace about 12,600 pounds of carbon-based electric-generated electricity. And that's the equivalent, again, I'm told, of taking about 1,240 automobiles off the road. But in addition to the environmental benefits, it also has very good economic benefits for the state. The solar panels, and there's going to be 16,000 of them in the first phase and 12,000 in the second phase for a total of 28,000 of those solar panels, they will be manufactured in Newark, Delaware by a company called Motec Americas. And then the construction of the facility, which is anticipated to take about 6 months, will create approximately 40 full-time temporary jobs, and it's intended that they will be filled by residents from Delaware. The last point I want to particularly address is the impact on the surrounding area. There are 2 points I want to make. One is that in keeping with the AR1 nature of the zone here and the surrounding area, these facilities are, in common parlance, you talk about them as a solar farm, and that's what they are. They're basically a farm that harvests the energy of the sun. And I would suggest to you that this facility would actually have less impact on the surrounding neighborhood than the existing farming operations right now, because there will not be any dust when you go out and you do disking or tilling or harvesting or anything like that. There won't be any irrigation facilities. There won't be any fertilizers or pesticides. There won't be any heavy farm equipment going on and off the road and on the farm, and there won't be any waste from animals. It's basically a very sanitary, antiseptic-type operation once it's installed. As we mentioned, we did hold an open house on July the 30th at the Cheer Center here in Georgetown. And with the chairman's permission, I'm going to hand this up to Mr. Robinson. This is in a great shape. This is simply intended to show you the people that were invited to this, the property owners that were invited. And as this exhibit comes down, just by way of explanation, the properties that have the little orange dot are people within 200 feet of the site, which are required by your ordinances to get notice.
Mr. Jaywerk, just real quick for the record, Mr. Jaywerk showed me this beforehand, and you know, while there is a 10-day rule, really it's just informational. It's not anything that's really factual or would cause any prejudice to anybody for not seeing it beforehand.
Let's allow it. Just pass it down.
I apologize. So if you look at this, the whole purpose is just to show you the efforts the cooperative made to notify folks about this. The properties that are highlighted in the yellow and orange, in the yellow and green, are properties that were sent an invitation.
You have to share that with everybody, okay? Not now.
And those who attended. The ones in green are people that attended the proceeding. It was held from 4 to 6 at the Cheer Center. As I said, the cooperative had set up similar displays to those, or displays probably the same ones you're going to see tonight, in addition to other ones, there were staff available to answer questions. I was present, and during the time that I was there, I didn't hear any of the property owners that attended voice any opposition. Several of them indicated their support. wished us luck in getting it approved. In fact, one lady even told me she wished that we were going to do that on her property instead of this property. I think Mr. Lank's already indicated that we have pre-filed a 38-page information packet, and I would ask that that be included in the record, along with the exhibits that were attached to the application, and also this little map that I just handed up. And with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Nielsen to come up with Mr. Hoy, and they will go through the meat of this thing. Thank you.
Now, gentlemen, before you get started, we've all seen this. It will not be necessary for you to read it to us, okay?
I can assure you I won't. I'm not an attorney, so I'll keep my comments very brief.
Just, but to be clear, though, it is part of the record.
It is part of the record. It's, that's the point being that it's part of the record. For the benefit of anyone with a concern, if you haven't seen this and would like to see it, you may look through that and help you all follow. I would ask you to pass it around. I'm actually giving you my copy, so. Well, I appreciate that. All right, sir, I need to ask you to introduce yourself, although you're vaguely familiar.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Mark Nielsen. I'm Vice President of Staff Services for Delaware Electric Cooperative, and I'm a project manager for the solar farm here. With me this evening is Walt Hoy with Centering Engineering. He and his firm will be doing the civil engineering for this project. As you mentioned earlier, you have the information booklet. I'll go through just a few comments on that and leave it up for questions that you or anyone else may have for us. The first diagram we have is an aerial view of the site. The site itself is located on East Trap Pond Road. It's about a little over a mile outside of Georgetown.
Excuse me just for a second.
Yes, sir.
Any of you that would like to move up and around, or even if you'd like to get up and go take a look at that, as long as you do it quietly and no conversation while you're there, because it's hard to hear two things going on at once, feel free to do so.
Would you like us to face it?
They're fine. They can move around.
No, you need to face us.
You need to face us. But I just wanted to let them know that they're certainly welcome to get up and take a look.
Okay. The site itself is 40 acres. It's being subdivided from a 163-acre parcel. That's basically farmland. It's all farmland in that particular that site. It's located about 1/2 mile from our substation. The substation is where we transform transmission energy from a high voltage to medium voltage. And the proximity is critical for us. Of all the sites that we looked at in Kent and Sussex County for this project, it had to be close to a substation. The further out that we get from a substation, the greater our cost to interconnect to the solar farm. So we picked a site that was fairly close to the substation, as well as had minimal impact to the surrounding area. So that's the site. Next one. We'll be doing this in two phases. The first phase will accomplish take up about a little over half the site in terms of acreage. It's about a little over 20 acres. Phase one, you see a single entrance at the bottom left-hand corner, approved by DelDOT. It's in the process now. That'll be a single entrance. Phase one, as Terry Jaywork had mentioned, will consist of about 16,000 solar panels. Spread up along racks, one after another, in rows on that site. It'll have a number of access roads that are depicted in the plan. And the site itself will be fenced in with a chain-link fence with a barbed wire on top. That is phase one. That hopefully after all approvals and we get the green light, we'll start that as soon as we can thereafter, with an in-service date approximately 3 to 4 months after we start construction. Phase two will be the remainder of the site, which is the rest of the 40 acres. That'll consist of about 3 megawatts, or about 12,000 electrical panels, and it'll essentially just mirror the other side of the solar farm. And again, there will be access roads going through the property to access the panels, transformers, and inverters that are located throughout the property. And again, that would be fenced in around the surrounding entire property. Okay. To give you an idea of what this looks like, hope you looked at the photographs. This is a site photograph of a site in Frederica, Delaware, at the Kent County Wastewater Treatment Facility. This is a 1.2 megawatt facility, so ours will, in total, once it's completed, will be about six times that large. And you can see it's just row after row of solar panels. Our particular site will be will not be a gravel base. It will be some type of low-growing plant, with the exception of the gravel roads. But that will be the site, similar very much to that. And if you want to take a look at the last one, hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at the site. This is the site as it looks now. It's just a farm field with some finger ditches that lead over to tax ditches that surround the property. So that concludes my comments. If you have any questions, I'll certainly be glad to answer them.
Okay. Is there any further presentation at this point, or are you ready? Are you ready for us?
I think we're ready for your question. The other thing is, I think I don't know. Mr. Nielsen mentioned the traffic. I mean, I think they anticipated like one truck a week going.
Okay. All right then. We thank you. We'll see if we'll hang on. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Ross.
Seems pretty straightforward, gentlemen. Is there an old house on the site that I noticed, or is that not part?
That's not part of this site. There's an old farmhouse to the north.
Just north of this.
Just to the north. That's not in this property.
Okay. And did I hear Mr. Lang correctly? There was an on-site septic system, or is there a need for an on-site septic? There's no personnel or anything of that nature.
There is none. There will be no need for none.
Is there any associated humming noise or anything that emanates from the panels?
No, from the panels themselves, there's no noise. There is a slight hum with a typical transformer, electrical transformer, if you get real close to it. But those transformers are actually located out in the center of the property, so you'll never hear that from the roadway. The transformers are located along the access roads to the inside.
Okay. And I guess as far as I've been by the Purdue site in Bridgeville, so that would be similar, I guess, in appearance.
Yes.
And what about like weed and grass control? Do you have to spray that, or do you just cut grass around all those things? Or?
The developer that we're working with has prescribed some type of low-growing grass, what they call elephant grass, that doesn't grow very much, but there will be some type of weed control if it gets high enough.
Mr. Chairman, that's all my questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe in your exhibit book you mentioned something about an 8-foot fence with 3-strand barbed wire. Is that correct?
That's
around
correct.
The facility?
Yes.
I don't think you could do an 8-foot fence, right, without permission of the Board of Adjustment.
For this type of facility, their height limitation can be subject to the director for screening purposes and security purposes. It does not have to go to board.
Okay. All right.
To be higher than 7.
Okay.
The only thing we watch for is the closeness to public roads and intersections, so there's not an obstruction. And if it's chain link, there won't be an obstruction.
Mm-hmm. Are you using a tracking head system?
No. This is a fixed access system. It's not tracking.
Fixed. Okay. Are there any ditches or impact on the ditches or any maintenance agreements, any right-of-ways that the Tax Ditch Association would have on the ditching on the site?
The finger ditches themselves that run through the property, we'll be filling in two of those eventually. Several will be remaining. The surrounding tax ditch, we will not be impacting that at all. I'll ask Walt Hoyt to further explain.
Mr. Nielsen is correct. The six finger ditches are not jurisdictional.
Introduce yourself, please.
Excuse me. Walter Hoy with Century Engineering.
Thanks.
Mr. Nielsen is correct. The six finger ditches interior to the property are non-jurisdictional by the Corps of Engineers, nor are they jurisdictional by the Deneric Department of Water. Those will be the only ditches that will be affected. The ditch to the south is a tax ditch. It is part of the waters of the U.S., and that ditch will not be touched. It is outside of the construction zone.
And the presentation that you made a while back at the Cheer Center, would that be similar to the presentation that you made tonight for the for the benefit of your record in the application, was it similar to what you did for the
It wasn't exactly a formal presentation. It was an open house with these display panels, and we had four couples come in that basically walked around, looked at the panels, and asked questions, and we explained it to them. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a formal setup presentation.
Was there a common question that those four couples that attended asked? Was there one question or concern that seemed to?
No, I don't believe so. I don't recall. I spoke with all four of them, and it was mostly a curiosity thing of what it was going to look like, how it was going to look and take place, and what it was going to do.
Mm-hmm. We heard Mr. Ross reference the Purdue facility up in the Bridgeville area. Did you make that as a suggestion to anyone that was interested that would be a facility that they could see that would be similar to this?
Not that. We had the photographs of the 1.2 megawatt up at Frederica. And once you've seen one, you've seen them all. It's just row after row of panels. So we did not reference the one in Purdue, in Bridgeville at Purdue.
Okay. I was just curious. I attended the grand opening of the Sun Park in Dover, which I guess was about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the occasion in December. I toured a facility in Asheville, North Carolina, and one about 50 or 60 miles east of Memphis in Tennessee. So I'm familiar
with
it.
Trying to hit one in every state or what?
trying to hit one, yeah.
We'll be glad to give you a tour.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, Shirley, thank you. Mr. Burton.
If this project would be approved, what would be your timeline?
It takes about 3 to 4 months once we start construction till completion. There's not a whole lot to it. There's equipment that goes out and basically drives piles into the ground for the racking system. Then we come along and set the racks. And then we have in various spots throughout the interior places for a substation and an inverter, which converts the DC electricity to AC. We would hope to have construction completed sometime in early 2013.
And then your phase two would be right behind that?
Within about 5 years. A lot of that depends upon legislative requirements that change every year. So it could be sooner, possibility it could be later, depending on how things take place in Dover. If we have an increase in the requirements, it could take place real quick, or if there's a sort of repeal of the RPS, it may not happen for a while.
Because you're really ahead of the game with it being 2015 or 18? When is there?
Well, there has to be, it's a graduated schedule where we have to have a certain amount each year by 2025. For this particular project, that will cover our requirements for several years from 2013 to about 2015 if the RPS doesn't change.
And then an unrelated question, you mentioned that the low elephant grass would be growing around the panels. Will there be some kind of maintenance around the chain link fence?
Yes. Typically what we do with our substations, which this is somewhat similar to, and they have chain link fence around those, we have a maintenance program. We have a service company come out and either spray or mow or whatever takes place around
and
that area.
Assuming that this will be gated, right?
Yes.
Completely closed.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Lank?
The exhibits that you've exhibited for the audience and the commission are all within your exhibit booklet?
Yes, they are.
That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right, then. Gentlemen, we thank you very much. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. I suspect there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1941, Delaware Electric Cooperative Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 19? Oh, I'm sorry. You're in favor. I'm sorry.
Surprise.
You know, Mr. Fuquay?
No, Mr. Sergeant.
Okay.
All right. Let's start all over
again. Already.
For the record, yes. My name is John Sergovic. I'm with the firm Sergovic Carmine and Weidman. I represent the contract seller, which is Heritage Lands LLC. And it's obviously in favor, but let me explain that it's the nature of its support for the application. Heritage Farms, which is owned by two entrepreneurs from Rehoboth by the name of Mike and Frank DeSilcos, bought this property in the Kool-Aid days. Like, they contracted in 06 and settled in 07. Needless to say, that was probably not a good time to buy real estate for development. This contract gives my client the ability to retain the property, the remaining acreage that's not being sold, and actually develop that property residentially. So it was a nice financial fit with, you know, my client's obligations and its desires to ultimately develop this property. And in agreeing to sell the property, they had to consider what the impact on the retained lands would be with this facility. And they came to the determination that the facility would actually enhance their ability to develop this residentially because of the green effect that this facility has on potential purchasers coming into this area. And that's why they're in favor of it. And they support the fact that they have approximately 120 acres retained, and they think they can develop that successfully with the solar panel farm there, as opposed to not having it there. Any questions?
No, except that I apologize for being so confused and almost denying you your right to speak.
Apology accepted.
Beg your pardon. And I do know that you're Mr. Sergovic, so, and you have been for a long time. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would like to speak in favor of this project.
Can you give us your name?
Sandra Ware, W-A-R-E. Live in Lewis, lived in Sussex most of my life. I'm in favor of this because of the stewardship of the land. Most of you may or may not know, there's three farms in that immediate area that are for sale right now. The land prices are very attractive. There's other projects that could come in that could be detrimental, but the owners of this particular land have tried to be good stewards, and I think that the green effect of the solar panels will be an enhancement to the community they want to develop on the remainder of the property. So I think this is going to enhance people's property values that may live in spot lots around those two roads, East Trapon Road, Substation Road, maybe on Route 9. And I really think that they're being very good stewards. And like I said, there's other things they could do with those other farms, but we are looking at the annexation and have central sewer and water, which is going to keep more of the runoff off of the property. And I think that the economic impact is also going to be very good for the county. Thank you.
Swear.
Yes.
Your profession is real estate?
I'm a commercial broker.
So you bring some level of expertise
in
this area?
Yes, I'm a land broker, and I'm the only one in Delaware.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyone else like to speak in favor? Okay, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1941? Yes, sir, step right up. Just give us your name and you may have the floor.
Yes, I'm Paul Reed. I live on Substation Road. And here, I'll give you this stuff back for you. Okay.
Thank you.
You have your copy.
All righty, thank you.
I never received a letter to visually see this. And as far as on the papers you have there, my neighbors aren't on that list. And
you live within 200 feet of the site?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
I live right straight in front of what they're getting ready to put in. I built my house in 86,
okay,
and I've lived there ever since. This here is going to totally destroy the value of my home, because you're talking 16,000 plus solar panels. I have a very nice home. My neighbors have very nice homes. A lot of them never got the letters. I have a gentleman here, he never got a letter either. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, if something like this was allowed to be put in front of my home and these other families' homes, who's going to want to buy our home if we want to sell our home? And the value of our home will be totally destroyed. And I'm sure they're well aware of that. They're looking for a place to put this. I'm all for green energy, or, you know, just save energy, this type of thing. If that's the case and they want to put solar panels on and they want to build really nice homes, the understanding I'm getting, why not put the solar panels on the homes? Why fill a 40-acre field full of panels that's going to be nothing but an eyesore, and then they're going to put a fence up with barbed wire on it, and we have that to look at? And all I have to say is I've worked really hard to get what I have today, and I don't want to see something like that destroy my home or anybody else's home that's on that road. And you can look in there, and my name's not in that letter. I never got a letter. I never got notified. Matter of fact, to be very honest with you gentlemen, the only way that I even knew that this was even happening is there was a sign hidden behind the realtor sign saying that there was a public hearing.
But you saw that sign?
I drove by and accidentally the wind was blowing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually physically picked the sign up, which was only a few days ago.
Okay.
And I took in, put the sign out where people could visually see it. But that's here and there. That's not why I'm here.
Well, you're here. That's the important
thing. I'm here because I'm concerned about the value of my home. And I'm sure all you gentlemen sitting here, if you had a nice home, which I'm sure you guys do, you don't want somebody to put 60,000 or whatever solar panels right in your front yard. And the one gentleman said that this is a deserted farm area. Well, it's not. Ride out there and look. There is very nice homes. On the left of me, there's a beautiful brick home on the corner, which belongs to Mary Workman. There's two other homes beside me. You go on down the road, there's other very nice homes. And this is going to affect all these homes. I don't know how they think that they're going to build this facility and then turn around and on the adjacent side of the road that goes over to Route 9, how they're going to build homes and anybody even want to buy them. Would you, I mean, any of you, I mean, would you want to buy or spend $300,000-$400,000 on a home and sit there and look at nothing but solar panels? Something like a project like this, I know what the electric company's trying to do, but there's other areas, industrial parks, there's other places that they can put these things that it's not going to affect people's homes and the value of their homes. And that's what I have to say.
Okay, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Mr. Reed, if you could, before you leave, and maybe one of these gentlemen, could you show on the overhead photo?
Your house is? Yeah. We'd like to.
Not on that one, on one of the photos.
There you go. He's Substation Road.
Okay.
All right.
And there's two other nice homes adjacent to them.
Okay.
And I looked at the paperwork, and all the homes, even right down here, is Chuck Workman. And all these people were never notified.
You can't talk in this comment, but yeah, okay.
I've talked to all of them, and no one has been notified whatsoever about any letter or nothing was mailed to us. But that doesn't matter. I mean, it wouldn't matter if somebody gave me a letter.
Yeah, and I want you to understand that they're not under any obligation to do that. That's a courtesy that they extended.
Okay.
What the county's obligated to do is put it in the newspaper and put the sign up. Hopefully, one of these days we'll revise some of those rules to include maybe the internet and things like that that would help get the word out a little bit better. But a lot of applicants do take that initiative. In fact, we take that initiative on certain types of things where we'll actually send a notice out, even though it isn't required. And I'm sorry you didn't get one. I don't know why you didn't. I don't think
even,
it was
even my neighbors on that road.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they did, and that would, to me, I would think that would be the important people that you would want to talk to, because this is who it's going to affect, not people that live 5 miles down the road or around the corner. Or, you understand what I'm trying to say?
No, I hear what you're saying. And,
But like I said, I
just want you to know also that this group here makes a recommendation to Sussex County Council. There'll be another hearing on August 21st, right here in front of the County Council, where these folks will have to do their presentation again, and you will again have another opportunity to speak and express yourself to the County Council, because they'll make the final decision. So just in case you had maybe didn't see that on the notice or something, I want to make sure you knew that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I thank you, sir, for your time.
Yes, indeed. We thank you for your time and your patience. You've been sitting here for 2 hours waiting for a chance to say something.
Well, there's a lot in stake for me and our neighbors.
I appreciate that. Okay, who's next? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
My name's Donna Atkinson. We own property on Parker Road, which comes up to the back of the project. And I really just have a couple questions. I'm not really for or against. I just have some questions. And I think they answered one of them. On site, there's only the small transformers.
Ma'am, you need to talk to us.
There's no large electrical transfer station on the site, or is it just the small humming transfer boxes on the interior?
I'll get the answer for you.
Okay. But. And then secondly, what I have read on online is, as the panels age, one of the things that could be a concern is all the soldering joints are lead. And as they age, if they're not replaced appropriately, that can leach down into the ground and the groundwater. And then thirdly, if legislation changes and they are not required to get their electric from these more expensive alternative energy things, what is the future of this site? Will it ever become abandoned because they no longer are required to do it?
If I could answer that, people would pay me a lot of money.
Well, I mean, I just don't want some abandoned facility because they don't have to use it anymore. So, you know, what are their plans down the road if that happens?
This is what's called a conditional use application. And with a conditional use application, either the commission or the council can place stipulations, such as if it ever becomes not operational, it must be taken down, and so on. So those sorts of things can be addressed. I think the first issue, of course, in everyone's mind is whether it should even be there at all. So, but if council thinks that it should be, that is something they could do to help mitigate the things that you're concerned about.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now, we had a question there, gentlemen, about the transformer. Would you mind answering the lady's question? Wanted to know if there's going to be any large size transformers or anything.
The transformer that we would have on site may be 3 to 4, well, I'd say about 4 feet tall. It's a little bit larger than a typical transformer that might sit inside or along your property line. This is a three-phase transformer, so it's a little bit larger. So it might be about 4 feet tall, sit on a concrete pad that may be 6 inches.
Where on the site will it be?
If you can show us. It will be internal, if I can show you on our.
Yeah, if you would, show us on the big drawing there. You say it's about 4 feet high?
Yes.
Okay. By 4 by 4 by 4 or?
About 4 feet by 4 feet roughly.
Okay. Well, it's got to have one more dimension to be real. So
depth wise, it's probably about 3 feet or
okay.
Shallow.
Good. All right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just address one thing, because I feel
No, you can't. I mean, are you answering a question or are you making a statement?
I just want to clarify about the notice because I feel like you may feel that we were less than honest with you.
We're fine with the notice.
No, okay. We're absolutely fine with that.
Okay.
One of the things I was getting ready to say to folks is that I understand you didn't receive something. It doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't sent, but it does. But I understand you didn't receive it. I understand that there were folks that weren't on the list. I don't think anyone here would think that you would do that intentionally because it's too obvious. You know, I mean,
he lives on the south side of Substation Road, and as this little exhibit shows, we didn't even attempt to send.
You didn't go that far?
No.
Okay.
But there's 500 feet between Substation Road and our site that we did send notice to. That was the Workman property. So, thank you.
Okay. Good enough. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just to make it clear for the record, Mr. Lank, were there notices that were mailed out and it was published and it was posted?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
There were notices sent out as far as the required 200 foot was 7 individuals, the Georgetown Volunteer Fire Company and the River School District and the Office of State Planning Coordination.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
I just have a couple questions.
Okay, if you come up here and give us your name, you can stay as long as you want.
Okay, my name is Carol Reed. And my question is there's on the edge of our road, there's four red poles. Are they planning to put something in addition on the edge of the road where we live on?
Okay, I'll see if I can find out about that. Assume you have some knowledge of what these red poles are. Okay, great. Anything else?
And then the other thing is what's the effect of all that? Is all these solar transformers with all the transformers around going to cause an increase in cancer in our area? Because I have children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll let them address both those issues.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, Mr. Nielsen or whomever is qualified.
I have to address you. I assume the poles that she's speaking of are the small stakes that sit up out above the ground.
Is that right? Okay.
Okay. Those will be either for poles or guy wires. There's an existing distribution line that comes from our Pepper substation along Substation Road, Those lines will be reconductored. New poles will be either installed or the old poles reconfigured, but that line will basically stay the same. There'll be larger conductors along that particular area that'll feed into the substation. But yes, there will be either poles, new poles, or guy wires at those stakes.
Okay.
And that's all pursuant to a franchise or whatever you have with DelDOT or an easement or something you have for those.
That's correct.
That exists.
So. It's in the same easement.
Okay. Now, I don't know that anybody here is qualified to answer this question, but maybe somebody can shed some light on it. Mrs. Reed is concerned about any possibility of there being an increase in cancer. Are you aware of any data for or against supports that or anything, or can you address it in any way?
Specifically, the solar panels themselves produce DC power, direct current. Direct current does not produce any EMF, electromagnetic force, that presumably causes cancer in some studies. So the electrical panels themselves, the solar panels, do not produce any EMF. The substation, the poles, the wires, the transformers will be, I don't know the distance, but they're obviously well inside the site plan. Won't pose any hazard or risk to anybody.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anyone else? Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Yes, sir. Mr. Burton has a question.
What is the, if you were sitting looking out the window, what is the height from the top of the solar panel to the ground?
The racking in the panel is 5 feet 10 inches. And that, I'm reading that from a display in your...
From the top of the panel to the highest.
From the top
of the
panel, yes, they'll be angled.
To the ground.
5 feet 10 inches to the top, to the ground.
And you're requesting an 8-foot fence around.
Yes, that was included in our spec.
Can you like us?
chain link.
No further questions. Thank you.
All right, sir.
One question.
All right, Mr. Smith.
And the choice of this particular spot on this particular part of Sussex County was, I believe you said in your opening remarks, or he did, was because it's within 0.7 miles of a current substation that has been in operation by DEC for so many years. Is that correct?
That's correct. We looked at a number of sites within Kent and Sussex County, and this came sort of to the top.
Mm-hmm. So if you found a spot that was more remote, it would not be a feasible spot because it would be, I'll make up a number, 7 miles away from a substation or something like that.
Exactly. Without getting too detailed, we start to get into losses. We don't get the full benefit the further out that we go because we lose that energy going being transmitted through the wires. Plus, for every mile that we go, it costs us roughly $500,000 to build that line. So the further we get out, the more expensive it gets for us.
I get, so it's a resistance.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
Okay. Anyone else? All right, then. Before we close the public hearing, I just want to thank everyone for coming. You've been very patient and quiet and well-behaved like all the Western Sussex County folks are when they come here. And just be assured that, you know, we're your neighbors, we live there too, and your concerns are certainly are going to be taken under advisement, and we appreciate you being here. And with that, we'll close the public hearing, and we'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision tonight, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.